Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
Coming to you from the Apex here in Las Vegas, Nevada, as we get ready for UFC Fight Night. We'll talk about last night's Dana White Contender Series. Matt, somewhere in a bunker back in Tampa Bay, right?
Boy, yeah, I'm getting ready for this news alert at 2:30 or 2:20. The whole world's going to get a message, an alert, and I don't know what it is. Maybe it's war. I don't know.
Well, first and foremost, how long is this? Because we've heard anywhere up to a half an hour. But before we talk about that alarm, let's welcome the big alarm here at the Apex. What up, Jimmy?
Hey, mate. How are you? Hey, Matt.
What's up, Jimmy?
Good. I'm about to sneeze.
Well, we'll take care of that. We had pizza last night. I was going to take a picture of it because I was hoping that it was good, and I was going to, you know, throw you under the bus like normal. But yeah, yours was better.
Yeah, he couldn't do it to you, mate.
Well, I mean, that's why I'm the goat. That's what I do.
You're close to a goat. Not quite a goat, but you're close to a goat. It resembles, I don't know, a donkey. A lot of things that we're going to talk about real quickly. Let's run down our guests for today in the first hour. And I'm very thankful that it's the first hour of our first guest because it's Ricky Glenn, the Gladiator.
Yeah.
Oh, so nice. I want to see Matt pick a fight like he normally does with other gladiators.
We will.
He picks a fight, runs and hides, you know, as he wants to defend the Gladiator name. And then in the third hour, Pat, starting with, Karolina Kovalkiewicz.
Or Kovalkiewicz.
Okay, and we're going to ask her.
We're going to ask her which way it is pronounced. But I think, listen, if the UFC say that's the way it is, then that's probably the way it is.
Well,
let's see.
Right, I'll get back to that in a second. Then one of my hometown guys, my birthplace guys, Joe Pfeiffer will be on. And then Alex Morano. A lot of things to talk about with him on the air and off the air. And then after we discuss something off the air, we may talk about it on the air.
Oh, this sounds intriguing.
It could be.
Wow.
It definitely could be.
This is if we survive the alarm.
And how long the alarm is.
Yeah. I mean, I have no idea. Does anyone actually know what they, I mean, what is it, a text message? Is it just a beep on your phone? Or is it, you know, run for cover?
I would ask our great producer, but we know better. I would ask Matt, but we definitely know better. I've asked Google. They don't know. So I don't, like I said, I've heard up to 20 minutes.
Well, at the top of the hour, the news break from the station was that it's a test so that everybody can get, you know, on a system. So in case they ever need to notify every single human at the same exact time for a reason, at least they know it works. So you can read into that whatever you want.
But here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. I listened to, there was an interview with, it's a while back, with Jim Carrey. He did for British television. And Jim Carrey was in Hawaii. Do you remember when they did that false, they accidentally fired the,
yes,
yeah,
the alarm, basically saying North Korea are shooting nukes at the islands?
Yeah.
And he wrote this book about it. He wrote this book about it, and he tells this story about how his assistant phoned him and said, like, in tears, going, what are we going to do? And he said, well, I don't want to live the last 20 minutes of my life in fear. So I'm going to get a drink. I'm going to sit. I'm going to watch the ocean. I'm going to try and absorb as much of, you know, the beauty of the place and all of, and the people and all this kind of stuff. And he said it put you into this really calming kind of environment. And he went through this emotional sort of journey on this kind of stuff. And I thought that's a really good thing. But it did lead me to believe, going, why would you even tell people
right,
if there's nothing you can do about it?
Right.
I understand like hurricane alarms for you guys down in Florida. You know, you need to keep people safe, and you know,
tornadoes.
Yeah, I totally get that. But if a nuclear missile is heading towards us, there's very little we can do about it. So I don't really even want to know about it.
If I get the 20 minutes, Matt, you know, that Carrie got, how many Diet Cokes do you think I could put down in 20 minutes?
Oh, at least 36.
To be honest with you, Randy's got so much Diet Coke in him, he would be the only person on the planet that would survive a nuclear attack.
Probably, yeah. I mean, and he would be in line at the buffet. Everybody's running for cover. He would be the only one at the buffet. He's got to get his value worth before he leaves
absolutely.
The planet.
Absolutely.
I've got a couple buffets lined up over the next couple days.
I'm sure you do.
I'll tell you that much. All right. So as normal, I reached out. I was very ticked off. All of these clowns, I was going to use a much bigger word, but they could possibly get us, or at least me, thrown off of FCC radio. So Tony Saunders, former pitcher. How about this guy, Jimmy? I know you don't know much about baseball. I know you're getting into it. You're getting into the Las Vegas Athletics. You're going to get ready for them. But Tony Saunders, my good friend, not once, twice broke his arm pitching.
Right.
How about that?
Was he not very good at it?
At breaking his arm?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was really good at that. And I don't believe in weird karma stuff, but I was in the suite with his family. And at the exact second, when I'm saying second, the exact second, Tony threw a pitch and you could hear it at whatever it was called, Thunderdome, Tropicana Field, the baseball field in St. Pete, whatever. At the exact time, he broke his arm. His daughter fell down the steps in the suite. It was weird. It was weird. And, you know, I don't believe in any of that stuff, but it was weird.
Maybe they're just clumsy people. Maybe they're just a clumsy family.
It could be. It could be. You know? I appreciate that. So Tony sent me a thing that I think it was a four-letter TV sports network that starts with the letter C that said the baseball game in Tampa yesterday. Well, that's my first problem.
Yeah.
There is no baseball in Tampa. There won't be no baseball team in Tampa. They were in St. Petersburg, had the smallest playoff attendance since, was it 1919?
Right. Well, answer me this question.
Let's go Rays.
I know Tampa's a significantly bigger place than St. Pete, mm-hmm. but St. Pete's not a small place either. You know, right. It's not like a little village. We're talking about a big town, big city, whatever. Why would they not call the St. Pete Rays?
I'm going to just go with laziness. Oh, you mean the team?
Yeah.
Well, because when it was first announced, you know, when we were first going to get
it
the White
Rays,
Sox.
Right? It is Rays.
It was the Devil Rays.
Ah, right. Okay.
And then, of course,
gotcha.
God forbid we use the Devil. How about that one?
There we go.
No credit to that.
Yeah,
that was pretty good. So they gave it to the community. You know, it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's the Tampa Bay Lightning. I'm okay with Tampa Bay. But to me, it's just laziness and let's be honest, stupidity. When you say in Tampa, the Rays, no, unless you watch the game at the airport in Tampa.
Right. Okay.
You know, they say the Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't. Have you ever heard them say the Tampa Lightning?
No. Never.
Have you ever heard them say the Tampa Buccaneers?
No.
Now they say in Tampa because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play in Tampa. And I know I'm going to get a million text messages like I always do. We're talking about the world exploding in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm bitching them that they said Tampa over St. Pete.
Yeah. I mean, priorities.
Right?
But the city of St. Pete got the license to get the baseball team. That's why they call. That's why it's St. Pete, right? I mean, they should be called the St. Pete Rays.
Well, you know, that happened to the Marlins. You know, the Marlins were originally called the Florida Marlins. Now they're the Miami Marlins.
But am I right in assuming it was like Florida is kind of, to me anyway, and I might be completely wrong here, so please tell me. Florida seems to be one of those places where there's a great deal of people that are not from Florida. Obviously, people retire to Florida because of the climate, you know, it's good taxes and all that kind of stuff. So much the same as Vegas, you get a lot of people in Vegas with the Raiders that don't really buy into the Las Vegas Raiders thing. Because they're from New York, or they're from Philly, or they're from Denver, or wherever, and they, you know, they've grown up supporting a particular team. Am I right in assuming that kind of like baseball isn't huge in Florida? Is that right?
I think, Jimmy.
I mean, it's like the Tampa is Tampa a well-supported team normally?
So in my expert opinion, I think it's because we have so much.
Hold on. You have an expert opinion in what?
Anything? Oh, yeah, I'm a media professional. Okay. I co-host Knockout Radio. It's nationwide. Maybe you heard of it. But no, I think because we have so much spring ball down here, and there's so many teams represented locally. Yeah, you have the Yankees here. You have the Detroit Tigers in Lakeland. There's so much spring baseball. I think, you know, you kind of get numb to the fact that we have a home team that plays regular season. Because the spring season is where it's really at for the action. You get cheaper tickets, great access. You get to travel around to all the different stadiums. You have a chance to interact with the players before they go out or after the game's over. So it's just a much better experience as far as a Major League Baseball event than the actual regular season.
Got you. Okay. Fair enough.
Attendance is down Major League Baseball everywhere, first and foremost.
Yeah.
A lot of the younger generation are not baseball fans.
Yeah.
You know, the older my dad, even my, you know, myself growing up right now, if you offered me $1 million to tell me the last time I watched a baseball game from the first inning to, you know, I get bored. So we'll say the sixth.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it. I don't know. It's probably when I was in Denver for a BKFC.
I think it is in general for me coming from the outside, and I like baseball, but we spoke about this last night. I kind of enjoy going
boredom.
To baseball.
I enjoy
boys, but, okay. But when you get to a certain age, I like the idea. We've got a great minor league stadium here in Vegas with the Aviators. It's state of the art. It's fantastic. And you go there and you have a burger and you have a beer and you can just sit and relax and it's beautiful weather and you can watch the game and it's kind of fine, but it's more from a relaxation point of view. So I think it's maybe an age thing where you actually cherish those moments of silence. You know, if you've got kids or jobs, you can just go and for a few hours just forget about it all. And that's what kind of cricket is to us in the UK. It's the same kind of deal.
And I want, you know, we talked about it briefly. We're going to talk about cricket. I did, let me finish because I my ADD kicked in. The other two guests that we're going to have in the third hour, Joe Pye.
Yeah.
And I think I did talk about it. So I've got four Philadelphia questions to ask.
Okay.
Obviously, best cheesesteak. Where's his favorite cheesesteak? When should we go for a cheesecake? Cheesecake and a cheesesteak.
Randy's having a stroke here, by the way. Just thought, you know. Live on the air. Oh, imagine that. Can you imagine we've got this emergency alarm coming and you know, like, imagine falling ill just before it gets here. Oh, you'd be furious.
I'm trying to top Jimmy Johnson. Did you watch him on Sunday, Matt?
No. Uh-uh.
So, you know, on Fox, he's up there with Strahan and Howie Long and whatever. And they're doing picks. And he picked, in the Dallas Cowboy New England Patriot game, he picked the Dallas Cowboys. And said, thanks for his reason for taking the Dallas Cowboys was Zeke Elliott would absolutely go crazy. The yards that he's going to get on Sunday and blah, 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 blah. And then Howie Long said, Jimmy, you know Zeke Elliott is now in New England. And they're like, and they laughed and chuckled. And he goes, yeah, that's what I meant. I'm going to take the New England Patriots. And so everybody chuckled. And then in his next sentence, as he continued, he said, but this is the reason the Dallas Cowboys are going to win the game. And so I don't honestly remember if it was one of them or I said, I think Jimmy's having a stroke.
Right, okay.
He went from the Patriots to the Cowboys in, I don't know, a minute and a half. So I get it. I'm trying to top your former Miami Hurricane, your former Dallas Cowboy head coach. See, we're blowing up.
Yeah, this is it.
You all right? Did you fall off your stool?
No, I'm good, man. I just, I thought, you know, I was just reflecting back to, I figured we would have started the show off with 10 bells for the Wakefield who passed away this week.
But
I didn't know. I'm proud of you for showing restraint. I'm proud of you for not bringing the show down to start it off. So kudos to you for maturity.
Let me ask you, Jimmy, and we're just, you know, gibberish, goofing off. We'll talk some MMA here shortly. Dana going off and talking about Bellator and won last night and his bowl. And we're going to talk about the PBR bowl. If you're going to do, let's just say you're getting ready to perform. And I don't know if you guys have ever done this. You know, I've seen, you know, like when they, all the lights go off in Broadway, when a big name, you know, passes away. Would you do the acknowledgement and the 10 bells or whatever before, as you're starting, or when you're ending?
When I'm ending.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, always. Well, yeah. I suppose it's like anything. It's like that thing you get to the end of a... I remember we did the Creedence, the original version of Proud Mary in our show when Tina Turner died. And we thought it was the best... And the reason, when Tina Turner died, we were doing a show one night and we were in Italy. And we did the show. And Tina Turner dying, obviously she was a legend and all this kind of stuff. She was great. And we said, listen, we do a version of Proud Mary, but it's obviously the Creedence version. We said, listen, let's do it. And we'll do the same version, but we're going to do it for Tina Turner. We'll make a thing of it. Which is funny because, like I said, my dad was actually in her band when she first started with Ike way back in the day. So he used to tell her stories. I've got pictures all over my dad's office of her, of him and Tina Turner when he was like 18 years old playing saxophone. So we did this, and I think it's nice. We have the same conversation in the dressing room before it, going, we're going to do this thing for Tina Turner. When should we do it, kind of thing? And I think it always has to be, look, at the end of the show, we lost an icon. And you allow people to enjoy the show before...
And that's
before
what Matt said.
Before the dip, you know?
Shockingly, I don't want to give Matt credit, but that's what he says. Why do you start the show on a downer?
Yeah.
And I've always said, because, you know, I kind of want to acknowledge and kind of dedicate the show to, you know, either a legend or someone that was involved with me personally or the show or whatever.
Sure. I get it.
Brooks Robinson passing away a week or two ago, whatever it was. I knew him, you know, interviewed him many times.
Yeah.
But I'll consider it. You know, I respect your opinion. Matt, I don't. You know, Matt said nothing.
Now here's something, Jimmy, to get you back on track of being on Team Randy. I would like to propose, and you heard it here first, that we should do a ranking system from 1 to 10 bells based on your star power, like your level of success. If you were a legend, a Hall of Famer, an icon, you should get like 3 bells for like a major league pro athlete, and then maybe 5 bells if you're in the Hall of Fame, and then, you know, 7 bells if you're an icon or you change the game as like a skill position, and like a Lawrence Taylor or like a Deion Sanders. I think we should have a ranking system of how many bells you get when you pass away.
Probably the only thing worse you could have done, Jimmy, the only thing worse than responding to acknowledge him was laughing like that. Now he thinks he's the greatest. He thinks he actually brought something to the show.
Let's try that and see how many letters we get.
We'll do it before the alert goes out. We'll
be exactly. We're screwed after that. Anyway, we might not never come back.
All right, we are a little bit over, so let's hit our first break of the afternoon. This is Knockout Radio coming to you live from the Apex here in Las Vegas, Nevada, UFC Fight Night Saturday. We'll get to that, I promise, over the next 2.5 minus whatever we're off the air during the test. Brought to you by Bucked Up Energy Drink, Staff Zone, and 8 Man Strong. You're up.
Here come the jesters, 1, 2, 3. It's all part of my...
This is Dale Murphy, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
How's it going, everybody? It's Jordan with Curated Heat, one of the best vintage stores in St. Petersburg, Florida. We are located on 2356 Central Ave in downtown St. Petersburg. We have sold to many different type of people, including Super Bowl winning athletes, celebrities, influencers. We do everything from vintage clothing, Supreme, Hypewear, Kicks, everything you could want, man. So make sure to come stop on down and see us at Curated Heat. Make sure to contact us on our Instagram at Curated Heat. Curated Heat or our whatnot at Curated Heat. Again, our Instagram at Curated Heat or whatnot at Curated Heat.
The hobby of trading cards is back and better than ever. Rhino Cards, specializing in sports cards, Star Wars, and MetaZoo, has just opened a second location in St. Petersburg at 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B, and would love you to stop by to buy, sell, or trade cards. Rhino Cards is a licensed Upper Deck Diamond dealer as well as licensed Fanatics and Topps dealer. Get back in the hobby or add that special card at Rhino Cards, 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B in St. Pete, and 4548 South Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
I want you to want me.
Hello, hello, this is Robin Zander. I want you to listen to Randy Harris. That's right, he's my friend.
All right, we are back to live from Las Vegas, Nevada, hanging out here at the Apex as we get ready for UFC Fight Night 229. He's got all his phones on that are going off, and he made me lose my total. Robin Zander will be here next week.
Who?
Cheap Trick's here in town next week. Robin just did the liner.
All right, okay.
Local. Well, not really local. He's Chicago.
Right.
He's from Chicago, outside of Chicago.
Well, and speaking of Chicago, Randy, did you see Chicago's coming to play at the original Hooters to celebrate 40 years as a business?
Correct, Amundo.
Is it not 50 years? I think it's 50 years.
Is it 50 years?
40. It's 40.
40 years of Chicago?
No, 40 years of Hooters.
Oh, I was about to say. Oh.
Yeah, we have priorities on this show, Jimmy. We have a standard of excellence, and we will not tolerate you talking about.
Sorry,
music.
I was about like, haven't they been around for about 50 years? But then it's much more important.
Well, especially in the Tampa Bay area, even though it was the very first one was in Clearwater, so that's not Tampa and that's not St. Pete either. But yeah, Chicago's coming. I need to reach out to Bob Passwaters, make sure. We can go see them. They're up in Pensacola, as a matter of fact, and tickets are still available if you're a veteran on the veteran website.
Oh, great. They put on a great show. Because, another one. My dad worked with them for Jim Panko and yep. Lee Lehane and all those guys. They're the best.
Jason Scheff, your former lead singer.
Yeah, they're amazing live. They're still absolutely devastating live. Musically, they're just there's no one, there's no greater musical band than Chicago, ever. There isn't. Yeah. Musical, I'm just talking about the actual musicianship and the sound that they create. No one has ever got close to touching them. They're incredible.
I agree.
And still going and still kicking it out. I love it.
Are you starting to lather up and foam up and get ready for the Gladiator that's coming on in about a half an hour?
I'm ready. You know what? I got questions.
I'm sure you do. Like, have you ever stood on a box on a pier dressed as a gladiator?
I mean, there's not many of us that have. I'm curious about his diet. You know, the original gladiators were vegetarian. They had better bone density and better blood circulatory. So they were the modern day UFC fighter. They had great health care and were able to have the best physicians take a look at them to get them back out in competition. So we'll see how dedicated he is to the craft. See if he's really one of us.
I know that this has absolutely nothing to do with sports, but it is a entertainment related question. Tupac was murdered how long ago?
Oh my Lord. Well, it was after the Mike Tyson fight with, oh my Lord, who was he fighting?
Are we talking 30 years?
It was like 26 years, I think.
I think I might be right in saying it was the fight when Tyson's first fight when he came out of prison against Peter, what was his name?
Cottontail?
You know, the big East Coast Irish guy. Oh, what if it's, oh,
my question, it was so long ago.
He died on September 7th, 1996.
Right, okay. Sounds about right.
16, so that's 25.
Yeah, 23 years.
And they just caught the alleged killer.
Yeah, that's incredible.
It's big news. I'm not saying it's not, but how big was that when that broke here in Las Vegas?
Well, it just, because people, would you believe, my wife actually works right across the road from the site where he was murdered when she's doing this, the BattleBot show where you came to see it, which for those people that know Vegas is like in an arena that's been purpose built behind what used to be Bally's. And on that corner, Flamingo and Koval, there's a power station just across the way. And it was on that corner where Tupac was shot in the car. And it's so, like, people still to this day leave flowers.
Yeah.
It's quite incredible. The impact the guy had was pretty special. And still to this day, you have to remind people. People say, oh, was someone knocked over here? And, you know, people that don't know, and you go, this is where Tupac was shot. And they go, wow. So people still, all the time, you see flowers on this, like, really random corner in Vegas. It was big noise here, all over the news and stuff.
I know I asked you the question about the funeral, and we talked about taking pictures at the funeral. Matt, the same conversation you and I had. Is it strange, weird, to go and take a picture at a spot where someone was murdered?
See, I've heard this asked about John Lennon
right.
in New York. Like, I don't know. I don't know whether that's... I think going to visit it is a very nice thing to do. If you're a fan, you know, you're almost sure. paying respects kind of sure. thing. The picture thing. I think we take far too many pictures anyway in this day and age.
So Randy, the real question is, Tupac dies today. How many bells does he earn when you do the tribute of life for him?
Oh, I mean, I think Tupac's one of those very rare people that gets the full 10, I would say.
Well, my co-host gave me crap that I run the 10 bells too much.
Right.
And that I just randomly run it for people that doesn't matter to him. Okay?
Right.
So, I'm not sure I would run it.
What?
Oh, I mean, this is
Come on, you at least got to give him two. It's in the name. Thank God, things like this, Randy, you'll be a judge of the UFC in no time.
For the sake of the pace of the show, thank God it's not 50 Cent with that.
But how would you do a half a bell for 50 Cent? That, you don't do the full ding.
Just lightly hit it. Hit it with your glasses rather than the hammer.
We got about 5 minutes. This is the circus that's going on here. It's just unbelievable. All right. So you mentioned cricket.
Yeah.
Okay. And we do have a guest coming up here in about 6 or 7 minutes. We'll hit a break before that. Can you explain cricket fairly quickly?
No. it's not like, you know, like
hit a ball, catch a ball.
Baseball is a relatively, I don't mean to annoy people here. Baseball is a relatively easy game to understand from the basics rule. You know, I'm not talking about the intricacies of certain types of pitches and all of that kind of stuff. But essentially, it's a very simple thing for people to understand. And I think that's why people enjoy just relaxing and watching it. Where cricket is a little bit more difficult. But, you know, like I said, cricket is our, you know, it's a similar thing. You go and sit and watch cricket. But remember, a cricket
match,
if you have a test match, which is usually, you know, one major country against another. So Australia versus England is a huge one. We call it the Ashes. It's a huge, huge thing. They have five matches, and each match can last 5 days, dependent on... They both get an opportunity to bat. They both get an opportunity to bowl. And dependent on the scores, and we have a big problem with rain. Like, you can get draws because the rain won't allow you to play on the pitch and all sorts of stuff. But I will say, it's more of a... Imagine playing Risk, you know, the board game, right, Risk. Right. It's all about where you're placing your players. It's a real tactician's kind of game. So that's why a lot of older guys like it. They can kind of sit there and they can just look at it. They don't really have to do anything, but they can assess it. So and there is a quicker form of the game called 2020, which is huge now in India and places around the world, which is literally, it lasts for about 3 hours, and the idea is to try and hit the ball out of the ground as many times as you can.
3 hours is still a little bit too long, so we need to shorten that. When will they ban the shift in cricket? They just recently, in baseball, we were talking about it the other day, they banned the shift where you can't move everybody from the left side to the right side because players aren't talented enough to hit the opposite field.
So that doesn't exist in cricket. That I mean, I was quite surprised when you told me about that, that was even a thing. Oh, we don't have that. You'll obviously, they'll set fielders knowing a certain batsman likes to play a certain way, and also knowing exactly where the ball's being, you know, kind of bowled to, leads to believe that the ball's going to go one side or the other or something like that. But, you know, but then that's the tactics of, hopefully, if a player's good enough, he can find those little gaps and stuff. But I was kind of intrigued that you could do that in baseball. That's mad.
Well, and you should still be able to.
Right. But you can't do it anymore.
No, they banned it. And like I was saying, they banned it because these professional athletes that play what some say is the toughest game in the world, hitting a little baseball at 100 and some miles an hour,
yeah,
they're not talented enough to hit the opposite field, to swing late,
yeah,
you know, because they can't do it. Instead of, you know, honing that skill, they just say, no, you can't do it anymore.
That seems very bizarre to me. It's very bizarre.
It is Major League Baseball. All right, final question for you, then we'll hit this break and get ready for Ricky Glenn. I was watching, and I thought of you instantly. So I'm watching WWE, and Drew McIntyre,
yeah,
comes into the ring, and he's got that big sword, and, you know, gets in there. So The Miz gets in there and starts yelling back and forth, I'm this, you're that, I'm dressed in a $10,000 suit, and you're dressed in a skirt. So my question to you is, I know it's all, you know, fun and games and entertainment, but do you get upset? And in the next hour, I want you to explain the kilt. But when the kilt is called a skirt?
No, it's just, you know, it's just lack of education. That's all it is. It's totally fine, but most people do it in jest, usually from far away.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, for sure.
Especially if you're the size of Drew McIntyre, you know, who, by the way, is a big Rangers man, so... That's my football team. We support the same football team in Scotland. So
we're talking soccer.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no. Yes. Just when you say football, I know your love for the Raiders. I know
glorious Glasgow Rangers. He's a big Rangers fan. So we love Drew McIntyre back home.
Perfect. All right. Let's go hit this break. Kind of catch up, and then we'll get prepared for Ricky Glenn, better known as the Gladiator, when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and 8-Man Strong.
Hey, this is Big John McCarthy from the Ultimate Fighting Championships, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
How's it going, everybody? It's Jordan with Curated Heat, one of the best vintage stores in St. Petersburg, Florida. We are located on 2356 Central Ave in downtown St. Petersburg. We have sold to many different type of people, including Super Bowl winning athletes, celebrities, influencers. We do everything from vintage clothing, Supreme, Hypewear, Kicks, everything you could want, man. So make sure to come stop on down and see us at Curated Heat. Make sure to contact us on our Instagram at Curated Heat. Curated Heat or our whatnot at Curated Heat. Again, our Instagram at Curated Heat or whatnot at Curated Heat.
The hobby of trading cards is back and better than ever. Rhino Cards, specializing in sports cards, Star Wars, and MetaZoo, has just opened a second location in St. Petersburg at 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B, and would love you to stop by to buy, sell, or trade cards. Rhino Cards is a licensed Upper Deck Diamond dealer as well as licensed Fanatics and Topps dealer. Get back in the hobby or add that special card at Rhino Cards, 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B in St. Pete, and 4548 South Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's Chuck the Iceman Liddell, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from the Apex as we get ready for Saturday night, Fight Night 229. Last night, Dana White Contender Series. I thought it was kind of funny as some media people and some muckety-mucks are talking, and they're like, nobody's getting signed. None of these guys are getting signed. And Dana signed three.
Yeah, all the experts that have never been in the ring.
All the experts all that those, have
right. You know, but no, yeah, no, I mean, it was a strange... I thought it was a bit of a strange card. I wasn't really blown away, if I was being really, really honest.
Is it possible you, me, everybody, you know, fans, media, whatever, when you say you're, you know, blown away, we're used to, not blown away, you know, we're used to being at a UFC. We're used to seeing whoever, you know, the top quality that there is. Let's keep in mind, these are basically still young fighters.
Oh,
you know, who are, you know, we shouldn't expect them to walk in there and be, I don't know, Sean Strickland, like how he's the one I used.
Yeah, no. But I don't, you know, you go into these contender series, you're looking for talent. You know, that's essentially what you're looking for. You're looking for, you are looking for the next, you know, big thing. However,
right.
They're not going to be the finished article, of course, because they've not had the greatest competition, but. With that said, like you kind of watched last night, and like I said, there was a few people that you go, listen, I would watch them fight. They were entertaining, but they need a hell of a lot of work. And I also think that, you know, you get a contract, then the next time you fight, you're going to fight in the UFC. This is the elite of the elite. And you're going to fight. And even if you're fighting someone, you know, you're not going to be fighting anyone in the top 15, but if you're going to be fighting someone that has been here and seasoned,
well, it depends. Joe Nickel, you know, or
Bo Nickel,
right. might need somebody.
Yeah, but still, you obviously know that. But I didn't see anyone that I particularly went, oh, I'd love to see him in 3 years' time with the right training. I didn't particularly see that. But you also go, this is a business at the end of the day, and I'm sure Dana and Hunter and all the guys that make the decisions here have quotas that they need to go, hang on, we need lightweights or we need welterweights, we need heavyweights. And if there's someone there and they're erring on the side of, I'm not quite sure, if they need someone in that division and they go, listen, let's give the kid a shot. And I love it. And there was a great story last night with, I can't remember the guy's name. And this is quite disrespectful, so I apologize. The Bolivian fighter. And he lost the fight, but he literally had the heart of an absolute lion. And he left. This is what's great about the Contender Series. You know, it's like American Idol for real people.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I love the fact that he got beaten. He got kind of well beaten. And he left the arena.
Hey, he was at the hotel.
And he went to the hotel. And when Dana was live on air, he said, you know what? He says, this kid, he said, I found out he's never had MMA training. And he didn't have a gym. He didn't have a coach. He was teaching himself in between work. And he's managed to get as far as the Contender Series. And Dana said, maybe I'm going soft in my old age. He says, but I'm going to give this kid a shot. And we're going to try and help him get set up with one of the elite teams, whether it be out here or in California, to see, because his heart is unquestionable. And that what was great about it was we were sitting in the media room when they kind of called him at the hotel and he arrived back, which the hotel's just around the corner, but he kind of ran back in going, what? And they went, Dana's going to give you a contract. He's like, are you serious? And he was so elated. This is a working class guy from Bolivia who is, you know, just trying to live his dream. And it was a lovely thing to see. It was really lovely to see that kind of opportunity be given to a guy who obviously hasn't been given many opportunities. So good luck to him.
Well, and if you're going to put him in any gym.
Yeah.
Why not the PI here?
Oh.
I'm sure Dana's saying, you're this is here, that's there, you pick. Why wouldn't every fighter come and live here?
Well, you know, I mean, that we know that there's the hotbeds of training, great training camps. Obviously, Florida is one of them. And there's spots all over the country. But, you know, this sport lives and breathes out of Vegas. You know, the UFC, so many great gyms, so many great camps. So, yeah, I think, but I love the fact they gave him the opportunity. I thought that was absolutely brilliant. It was a nice feel-good story. Great way to end the night, because most of the fighters ended up in the hospital.
Yeah.
So there wasn't many at the press conference. So that was a welcome addition to the roster.
Well, Matt, and like what Dana said, you know, in the press conference, he said, you know, maybe I'm making a mistake and maybe I'm going to come out looking good. This could set a precedent, you know, good or bad. You know, if he comes in and does fairly well, he doesn't have to tear it up, but if he does fairly well, it may, moving forward in next season, because I believe next week is the last Dana White contender season of this year. It may soften him up a little bit more where, you know, I'm on the bubble. The last guy came through. Why not? What do I get to lose?
It becomes like a dream factory. You know, everyone wants to be here. And at the end of the day, if you've got the heart of a lion and, you know, that guy seemed like he could run through brick walls and it not affect him, then you go, listen, you know, if you can do that, listen, let's see if you can do that against the best fighters in the world. And you never know, with a little bit of help and a bit of training, he's certainly got the guts for it.
He can go to Extreme Couture, hang out there, you know, train with a couple of people there. And if he makes it out,
this is it, you know.
I mean, so like, there's hope, like, Matt.
Well, look, I mean, the reality of it is that you could go back to every successful champion. At some point, it was just in the right place at the right time, with the right opportunity, and somebody believed in them, maybe when they didn't believe in themselves yet, So, I mean, I think Dana, of course he can come back like his egg on his face and he chose the wrong guy and got behind the wrong guy. But, I think this kid's going to prove Dana right. And, who knows, maybe the next great champion coming out of Bolivia.
Or the next great champion, like, Sean O'Malley coming out of the Dana White Contender Series.
Yeah,
or coming out of Montana. I mean, who thinks that the next champion is going to come out of a state like Montana?
Well, why do you have such hate for Montana?
I just didn't know there was that many people there. But like, who? I mean, there's cowboys probably, and like,
so there's bulls. Maybe Dana can go out there and look for his next PBR bull.
Yeah, Dana bought a bull, but
bulls. He's had bulls.
Bulls.
Because he bought a bull. He said he wasn't very good. Got another bull, wasn't very good. And the one that we'll have, he will have in the UFC parking lot on the 16th, he said is a nasty, nasty bull.
Really?
So yeah. I stopped him as he walked by and I said, I guess I need to get a flight and come back on the 16th. And you know what he said? Ah, don't do that. I'll get you credentialed for the PBR and you can hang out there.
Oh, so, that'd be cool.
And Randy's going to ride.
So can we incorporate the 8-second bull ride into like the badge of honor? Like once you have to complete an 8-second bull ride before you get entry into the UFC.
There we go. This is, I'm liking the direction of this conversation.
Well, I don't think it should be 8 though, because professional bull riders, that's their numbers, 8 seconds, right?
Right. Okay.
So, you know, if these are just athletes, but you know, obviously not PBR cowboys, I mean, we got to cut it back a little. So let's cut it back to 7. No, I was five.
Could 5 seconds. Could you imagine? I love it. Can you imagine? You've got a contract. You've just got your contract on the Contender Series. You're all bussed up, and they go, listen, here's Ellie Mae. You've got a 5 seconds on Ellie Mae.
Or hold on a second. Here's even better. I like how we're brainstorming. You put the contract on Ellie Mae. So in order for you to get the contract, hey, you know what, Jimmy Joe, I'm on the bubble. I'm leaning towards yay, but I'm on the bubble. The higher the, I don't know how many, the two people that are higher than Dana, we're going to attach the contract to Ellie Mae.
Yeah.
And we'll put you on, and if you can snag it off the rope, you're in.
You've got to get it.
And if you fail, you have to go fight for Bullator.
This is... I love that this conversation, anyone listening to this conversation right now is going, geez, when is that alarm coming?
Yeah. They go off at the 5-second mark. Goes off at 5 seconds.
So are you implying that 5 seconds is too long?
I don't know. I've never ridden a bull.
Well, I haven't either.
No. I've done the drunk one. You know what I mean? You know, you go to those bars in Ibiza and you everyone gets drunk and you jump on a bull, but I don't really remember. I think I was pretty good at it, but I don't really remember.
They didn't have video back then. No,
back in the dark ages. Right.
There was no video there. UFC Fight Night. We will be talking more about this in the next 2 hours. Right now we're going to talk to our first competitor. This is where we're going to set up Matt to get his butt kicked.
Yeah.
So Matt, are you ready to call him out?
I'm ready. I'm stretching right now. I'm getting ready.
Yeah. Oh. You know, it's easy to call somebody out when you're not in the same room
or the same state.
Yeah. It does make it much easier. So UFC Fight Night, just a couple days away. Fight number 299.
Yeah.
Is our guest there yet? Or are you still waiting for him?
No.
It's 299 already.
I think 229. I think when I said that you were going to call him out, he was a little concerned. So, yeah. I'm sure that was the case. So let's welcome to the program Ricky Glenn. Ricky, how are you?
Hi, doing great.
We appreciate your time. So before I tell you and explain it, Matt. Well, I'll tell you now. Matt thinks he's a gladiator as well. All right. So my first question, the most difficult question of our conversation is, you know, those clowns, and Matt is one of them, that drive a Jeep.
Okay.
And every time a Jeep sees a Jeep and they do that wave kind of thing. Yeah. Do you gladiators do that as well? Like,
oh,
if you see Matt, will you do it?
You see the ears and you're like, hey, I know what you do. What's up, man? How's it going? You know, a little head nod. You see the UFC sandals or the clothes, whatever.
So, Matt, I don't know what we can get you. You don't have UFC sandals, and I don't think you have MMA ears because you're not an athlete. So what can we do so that, you know, Ricky's going to know that you're an alleged gladiator?
Well, I mean, so here's the history of the gladiator. Jimmy over there will tell you that it's a kilt, but the original gladiator wore skirts. And so I guess, you know, if you're a real gladiator, you got to wear a skirt in the octagon.
There you go. No one's going to argue. Let me tell you that much.
Jimmy, we should make that a thing. We should make that a standard uniform for the UFC.
Yeah, sure. All right. So it's Wednesday, just early. And I know that you guys hate the fight week, you know, questions and that kind of stuff. So I'm just curious, how do you get through the next couple of days? How do you want to think about the job at hand, which is Saturday? Or out and just kind of, you know, chill and enjoy and get through the days.
I mean, just like any other fight, I focus on the things I can control. And when we get in there, you know, I'm coming out to Vegas. I'm kind of rolling the dice when I step in that octagon. But I've made all the right preparations, and I'm really confident. I'm excited to get the job done.
So it appears you're a craps player. So when you said roll the dice, so I'm curious. I don't gamble. I gamble by going to the buffet, as you can tell, looking at my physique. When you pick up the die, do you put certain numbers at the top and all that, like some people do, or do you just shake it?
Let it roll.
Is that the plan for Saturday night after the fight?
What's that?
After the fight, the casino.
No, I really don't gamble much. I hit the slot sometimes, you know, the big wheel fortune machine. Oh, like $500 sometimes, but that's about it.
$500, it's $85 at Bellagio Buffet. Oh, that's a couple of good buffets. It's not bad. So do you try to keep the fight week consistent, meaning, you know, the same one every time, or do you try to change it up so it kind of helps get through? Or
Yeah, it helps be a little lighter. You know, back in the past, I came in a little heavier, and I'm a little lighter this time, and I feel stronger. Or in the past, especially when I fought at 45 was ridiculous. So I'm at 55, a good weight class for me, and I feel a lot healthier now. So little things like that, you know, just, you know, 2 pounds makes a huge difference. Coming in fight week 2 pounds lighter, or being my whole camp, I stayed at the weight that I think I would walk into the cage at. So that's a big thing too. At least halfway through your camp, you want to be, or should be, what you're going to walk into the cage at. So I'm not so focused on cutting weight.
Yes. I guess now's the time I talk about me cutting weight.
Go for it.
My next weight cut will be my cremation.
He does the same joke on every show.
Because it's true.
That's a good one.
I mean, it's true.
You have dropped quite a bit.
So so listen, I'm right in assuming you have a little boy. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yep.
How old is your little boy?
2.5.
2.5. So a little bit young right now. Let's say 4 or 5 years old. Are you letting him watch the fights? Do you kind of have this in your mind to try and hide what daddy does for a living, or go, listen, this is what daddy does. This is why you have a roof over your head, young man.
Yeah.
You know,
he'll watch them for sure. The first couple after he was born, he didn't watch. And the last one he watched, and like, obviously I lost, and like, dang it, I wish he wouldn't have watched it. But he's so young, he didn't understand.
Sure.
And he does jiu-jitsu. Well, the word jiu-jitsu. Come at me and up my legs and kind of twirl them around a little bit, so he knows jiu-jitsu.
How would you feel when he's, you know, I don't know, when he gets into his late teens and he says, "Dad, I want to do this for a living." Are you someone that would like to? I mean, obviously support always whatever you want to do, but would you kind of go, no, go and get a proper job, or would you go, yeah, absolutely, and I'm going to teach you, I'm going to use. It's my experience to take you away from all the bad experiences that I had, or the mistakes that you maybe thought you made. How would you feel about it?
Well, I'd definitely be able to, I think, and I would deter him from doing it for sure.
Yeah.
But if he was persistent about it, I'd run him through the ringer and see really if he had it. If he really wanted to do it, okay, let's see what you got, you know.
Before we get to the top of the hour, I do need to talk about what's at hand. You know, talk about them, your thoughts on them, and how much research do you do, or is it what you're going to do and not necessarily what he brings?
I mean, he's a, you know, good, tough, you know, real strong guy. Been in the UFC for a while. He's been able to, you know, get a lot of good finishes, and he's got a lot of hype behind him, of course. He lost his last one, but leveled me up, you know, in the company, in my life. I actually fought on the same card here in 2008 in Omaha. So I had him since 2008. I know, you know, he looked good in that fight.
Oh, he definitely looks good. Oh, you meant fight-wise.
Fight-wise. But he's more of a kickboxer, and obviously we all mix it up well, and I have my hands full with him. I know it's going to be a tough job.
Does it matter to you? You know, sometimes fighters don't like each other, and I know sometimes they get along. And does it matter, like the guy, don't like the guy, don't know him, don't care? How does it fall for you?
Yeah, I don't really care. And we were talking about this earlier, my coach and I, and some guys, will try to be all nice and hug, and, hey, man, oh, looking forward to seeing you in there. And kind of like to lower their guard. It's like, you know, some guys kind of play those mind games where, oh, I'm all nicey-nicey, and then, you know, try to get you to calm down a little bit. And then I've fought other guys that, you know, talk shit and call me.
He said ship, just so you know. Ship. He sees the ship on my computer.
You know, call me bad names and stuff. Yeah, it's like, either way, I'm going in there to kick your butt.
Yeah.
Is it, I mean, we only have about a minute and a half till the top of the hour. Is this still fun for you? You know, I was once told Marcus Jones played in the NFL and then attempted MMA and was out here for UFC 100 and on Tough. And, you know, his comment about football was, I don't even like it. I'm just good at it. I mean, do you love fighting, or is it you're just good at it?
It goes in spurts, man. It's like a roller coaster. I do love it. The thing that I dislike the most is the injuries. When you get the injuries and you're out for a year, you're like, what the hell am I doing? Why am I doing this? Yeah. This is crazy. You know, so being out a year, being out the money, you know, a year's salary.
Sure.
Most average people couldn't even fathom that, not making money for a year.
Yeah.
So that stuff really, you know, it hits home pretty tough when that happens.
Awesome. Good stuff. Ricky, thank you for your time. Enjoy the week. More importantly, have fun on Saturday.
Thank you.
We're going to get your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, awesome. As well as some cool stuff from Bucked Up Energy Drink.
Sweet,
as well.
Man.
Appreciate your time. Thank All right, you let's hit the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jim Tomey, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE. Own.